This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Pete, you texted me the other night and you said, look, it's draft season. The minute that this season ends, you're a big college football guy. You love the draft. So I've got Mel Kiper's projection for the Vikings and at the top of the draft. And I will just tell you that Mel Kiper, with the 24th pick for the Vikings, has them taking Benjamin Morrison, a cornerback from Notre Dame. The Vikings have lots of free agent corners, as you alluded to in our last segment, that they have to rebuild that part of the team. And that's fine. I certainly have no criticism for them drafting a corner. Personally, defensive tackle is a favorite. You could throw guard out there if there's one that's worth taking in the first round. But how about this, Pete? If they picked if they picked a running back, there's two of them that could be first-round picks, Ashton Jeanty from Boise State and Omarion Hampton from North Carolina. Would you think that that was reaching for them, or would you think that that was a good decision?
I think it'd be a great decision. I honestly am a big believer in it, and I think if you go and you look around the NFL and you see who's who makes the playoffs, who's very close to being either a playoff team that maybe just barely missed out or whatever, they've got running games, right? So I think that it's been something that's been way overdone by the NFL, by the general managers, the fact that they go with all these receivers. Like, I'll give you this example. The number one receiver in the big in the entire NFL is obviously our guy, JJ, right? I think everybody agrees on that. How different is JJ from the 25th receiver in the NFL? And I mean that sincerely. And I love JJ, but are they that different? I think if you look at the number one running back or the top five running backs and you look at what they are able to do, what teams they're on, and why are they so special, it's because the game has changed and it's moved back to the point where you've got running backs with a little bit of size, and if they've got that size and, of course, the speed, they can flourish in the NFL because all these linebackers are 220 pounds. They're small. So I look at that Omarion Hampton. Now, the Gophers played against them, North Carolina, early in the year. The kid's a beast. He's got a great bod. I mean, he's 6 foot, 220 pounds, solid as a rock, and could be great. I don't even – you might even be able to leverage yourself down a little bit if none of the backs are going really high like they usually don't, and maybe even get like Caleb Johnson from Iowa. I think the world of that kid, too. I think he's unbelievable and had a great year. If it wasn't for Ashton Jeanty, we'd all be talking about him. He's a really special guy, and it's in the Big Ten. It's not just coming from some small conference that most people don't pay attention to. This is Big Ten defenses, and he had an unbelievable career, and now he's coming out 6 foot, 225 pounds. I think any of those three would be a great pick, and you might even be able to get them a little bit later if they're sort of stacked up. You could probably push yourself down and maybe work on some more drafts that you'd like to get, because the Vikings draft does not look very exciting this year. We've got the 24th pick, and then what, right? I mean, that's kind of where we are right now.
Right, and if they were to maybe tag and trade Darnold, they could add to that. But, you know, and they're going to get a comp pick, so that makes four draft picks that they have from three at the moment. So I'm a little conflicted along the lines of the drafting a running back thing. I would make a different point about Justin Jefferson, which is that opposing teams put so much attention on Jefferson that they're playing deep safeties and they're rolling their coverages, and that should make your run game pretty darn effective. I think that the difference between someone like Saquon Barkley in Philly and in New York is, well, one, they can pass the football also. They have an offensive line. You need these things around the running back to maximize all their talents. That's always been true. But I think that when you have a great wide receiver who draws so much attention and a downfield passing game, that it's wide open for you to run the football. We've seen the Chiefs take advantage of this. The Bills definitely take advantage of this with James Cook. Everyone is terrified of Allen throwing the ball, and they're able to run it. And we see the Ravens, too. The better they threw the ball with Lamar, the better they can run it. And when you have a real talent back there in his prime, it is super scary for opposing offenses. The thing about drafting one in the first round is, I think you make a great point about Caleb Johnson from Iowa, which is the third round running back might not be different in talent by a ton from the two first round running backs. That's where I might look to defensive tackles are really hard to find that are beasts and who can rush the passer, and they have not really had one of those guys in many years. I would want to lean a little bit toward things that are harder to find early in the draft, and that's part of it with running backs, is that they usually have been available in the second and third rounds.
Yeah, they have. There's no doubt about it. I think that's going to change, and I think people, general managers, probably were paying attention this year to the running backs and the running game itself and how, you know, the teams that are playoff teams generally have a pretty good running game. You know, and I say that loving Aaron Jones, but he's getting older. Yep. And if you were, if you thought that Cook was old, well, now, this guy's about the same age as Cook was.
Right.
So I think you've got to move on and try to find something else. And I don't know if you're going to get it in free agency. Maybe there's a possibility of somebody good. I love the idea of finding a running back. And I think that any of those three running backs that we were talking about make a lot of sense, especially when you look at Hampton and Johnson, just because they're bigger. I like to see these bigger running backs because, and I say it all the time, the linebackers are small. Some of these nose guards, some of these defensive linemen, some of the interior guys on many of the teams are a little bit smaller. And it's crazy to call a 300-pound guy small, but these days, 300-pound guys are small.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a defensive line with the 340-pound guys that are right in front of the center, That's a different game because, you know, now your offensive line's got to really do a lot more work. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of teams that have the 285 to 300-pound, you know, guys in the middle. That's where those running backs can flourish too because they can get right past those guys pretty rapidly, especially just a chip block from the guard or the center, and you're off to the races. So I don't know. I just look at it as the huge benefit that we haven't taken advantage of yet, I don't think, is – having that running back that makes it a second and five, because second and five is a great down for offenses. And that would play in really, really well for somebody like JJ then.
Well, and it felt like they ran a lot on first down. It didn't feel like. I looked up the stats. They ran a lot on first down. They did not run a lot on second down, which means that you were not often in those short yardage situations, or O'Connell almost always wanted to throw it down the field in that spot, maybe because he didn't trust his team to get short yardage, which they did not, and was one of my biggest frustrations of the year. So before we take a quick break and then get back to Championship Sunday, and I want to know your take of when the Vikings will be Championship Sunday again. The top of the draft projected by Mel Kiper has the Titans taking quarterback Cam Ward and then Travis Hunter, the wide receiver slash corner, going to the Browns. For his sake, I hope he does that organization. Shedeur Sanders going third to the Giants. Abdul Carter, who is a freak, to the Patriots. And then Mason Graham, who I would do anything to get on the Vikings at the number five spot. He's a defensive tackle from Michigan. Give me a hot take on the top of that draft, Pete.
Yeah, you know, there's so many mock drafts already. That just shows you the power of football, the power of the NFL. And I'm looking at a different mock draft where actually Tennessee's taking Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Abdul Carter is a special kid. I mean, he is the closest thing to Micah that I've seen. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, and he gets after quarterbacks, and he's a disruptor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so he's an amazing player. I think Shedeur Sanders is a very talented athlete. I don't like his there's certain things about his personality that I'm not a big fan of. He's not a big team guy from what I see. a guy who gets $4 million in NIL money and drives around in a Rolls Royce. And you know, I think you got to share the wealth. I just, that's just my opinion about, you know, the personality side of things. But I think that Mel's pretty spot on some of the picks. I'm still not a big believer in taking these quarterbacks if you don't have the rest of the pieces of the puzzle yet. And I look at the Giants, I look at all of them, Tennessee, whoever. If you're going to go for a quarterback and try to go that way, I think you're better off going in free agency. And that's why Sam Darnold, I think that everybody says, well, Sam's lost a lot of money because he played so poorly in the last two. Sam is going to be the number one free agent quarterback this year. He's going to get money. Yeah. And it's not even close. So there's no, you know, pity parties for Sam. He'll do just fine. He's going to get a lot of money, I think. And whether it's the Vikings or he goes elsewhere, he's going to get paid. So that year has been great. But as far as the draft, it gets more and more interesting all the time. And things are going to change, as you know, because as soon as we leave from the combine, we're going to change everything about everything because some guy ran a 4.240 instead of a 4.4.
That is for sure.